This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
It's nice to see you. How are you?
I know you just rolled back in here and you're already giving out secrets.
Can I just say thanks to Eric McLean yesterday for doing a great job? Big long weekend for Mac. He did a lot of talking Saturday. Those boys were union labor people on Saturday. People. But thanks to Emac for coming in, handling the show yesterday while I was trying to work my way back from 5 touchdowns from Tom Brady.
Good defense there. Excellent.
Well, it was 28-25 at one point. We're feeling pretty good about ourselves.
Apparently, tackling people in the state of Florida is against the law.
Wow.
Just saying.
I come bearing gifts.
Oh, you see, now you're back on the good side.
I come bearing gifts.
This is what happens when you win Emmys.
Come bearing gifts. And you know what you've got? A handwritten note. You need to read the note. She watches the show, knows Ms. you Jean's like handwritten notes.
It's a lost art, the handwritten note.
School teacher, former school teacher, Vandalia Elementary in Greensboro, ladies and gentlemen.
You know why I know this is an important note?
Why is that?
Because it's sealed.
It's sealed. Yeah, that's it.
Miss Jean, first of all, the lemon squares are spectacular. So you know those won't make it till 10 a.m.
And they won't make
but
it.
But I will share. I do share.
Robert.
Otto.
Yeah, Robert's excited.
Otto's
excited.
Out there drinking all my beer in the refrigerator, so I'm not, you know, he doesn't
I don't know how
drink.
The lemon squares and the beer is going to taste, Otto, but good luck.
He's wanting to know if the light beer goes good with lemon squares at 7:35 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm in, Otto. All right, you go ahead and talk. I'm going to go ahead. Should I read this out loud or
yeah,
not?
Yeah, read it out loud.
Miss Jean, dear Mark.
Yes.
Enjoy! Exclamation point. That would be an understatement. Just want you to be informed that due to all the publicity you have given me on Packer and Durham regarding your regarding lemon squares, this will be your last freebie. Wait a minute, Miss Jean. Wait a minute. Miss Jean, somebody has hacked. Somebody has hacked your handwritten note.
Go ahead.
Wait a minute. I'm going to start again. There had to be something. I haven't even read this, obviously.
Go ahead.
Wait a minute.
That's why you're reading it now.
Miss Jean.
Loud.
Miss Jean.
Go ahead, start again.
Dear Mark,
yes.
Enjoy. Just want you to be informed that due to all the publicity you have given me on Packer and Durham regarding lemon squares, this cannot be right. This will be your last freebie.
Until.
I can't read any further.
Yes, you can.
I'm already disturbed.
Just read further, you're fine.
I can't even read this part.
Yes, you can.
I'm
go
crushed.
Ahead.
This is like losing the lead to the Dodgers
your last
down
freebie.
The stretch.
Your last freebie.
Oh, this is heartbreaking. This will be your last freebie until I fill all of my prepaid orders. Should be able to send more after the holidays. Gene.
Now we're in rationing mode.
Now, let me just say one thing.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, I love the handwritten note. Anybody that wants to impress me, you send me a handwritten note.
Well,
that's number one.
That's
if you really want to impress me, send me free lemon squares with a handwritten note. I can appreciate, given the capitalistic entrepreneurial flair, that she could say, hey, listen, I got money to be made over here. Catch you later. So I can appreciate that. So, Miss Jean, I love you. Thank you very much. Well, and like I said, I will ration these out accordingly to all the folks that helped us win our second Emmy over the weekend.
You got to like the entrepreneurial spirit of parents.
I love it.
Right?
I do.
I mean, you got an entrepreneurial spirit of yours.
Everything about this is actually right down my alley.
I know. There you go.
Lemon squares, handwritten note, and an entrepreneurial flair.
There you go.
That's a 3 for 3.
That's it.
That's why we love Miss Jean. Thanks very much.
So there you go.
Love it.
Now we'll see how many get to 10 o'clock here today.
By the way, Miss Jean, can I say one more thing to Miss
sure.
Jean? Let me look in camera number, whatever that is. Number 2, 3, whatever it is.
It's 3, yeah.
Miss Jean, this is just for you. The fact that you are receiving all these demands to make lemon squares.
Oh, no, here we go.
And I love the fact that people are now paying you to do this. And the reason for the demand for the lemon squares is the publicity, which I might add doesn't come free. So, Miss Jean, I'm just going to let you know, because of my entrepreneurial spirit and love for you, I will receive
5% I knew
of everything that you're going to make. Love the Pac-Man.
I knew it.
Now we're good.
Now we're good.
Now we're good.
Now we're good. So, let's see. Where you want to start? Clemson? Miami?
We got all kinds of stuff.
We got some
while
news.
You were gone yesterday, yeah. Trying to find some defense down there for Atlanta. We covered everybody in the league yesterday, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it was a combination of everything with everybody. But there was some news from Tiger Town last night on Dabo's radio show.
Yeah, he announced last night with Don Munson on his weekly radio show that he does that Lynn J. Dixon has entered the transfer portal. Now, a guy who some figured in the offseason would be the number one guy at Clemson had 10 carries for 48 yards so far and appeared to have fallen out of the rotation in all honesty. That right here is Lynn J. Dixon's best run of the year.
That was also his only handoff and run against the Georgia Bulldogs.
Right.
That was it.
So Lynn J. Dixon has entered the transfer portal. Now we've gone back into the archives here a little bit. Not terribly far. About 10 days. And if you remember 10 days ago, those of you that follow the Tigers, this is not going to be a surprise to Clemson fans who follow the program.
No.
But for those of you who follow the ACC, you want to know a little bit of the backstory? Here's Dabo Swinney's presser from September 11th postgame of South Carolina State about where Lynn J. Dixon was.
He needs to grow up, you know. It's just that simple. You know, he needs to be a team player and just grow up. He's a very good player. Obviously, he's very talented, and we've seen that. But just need him to stay out of Spiller's doghouse. That's really it.
All right. So, a couple things here. 10 days after that, Lynn J. Dixon's in the transfer portal, right? 10 days after that comment. C.J. Spiller's a first-year running backs coach at Clemson.
True.
C.J. Spiller is a pro. He knows what it takes. He goes to that level. If Lynn J. Dixon didn't embrace that because of the competition and because of who's coaching him, I don't have much of an issue with what Dabo says, and this is part of the consequential thing that happens when you go play in an elite program. There are going to be other good players there. I mean, Trevor Lawrence went there with how many other great quarterbacks?
All right. True.
Okay. So there you go. But I'm getting at a point here where the competitive depth you hear coaches talk about, Pac, is a real situation. And sometimes guys have things happen early in their career, but you still have to validate and win. The old win the day, that applies to the players. And sometimes if you don't want to win the day, then things like this happen.
I'm not surprised with this news, to be honest with you. You know, Lynn J. Dixon was behind Travis Etienne and was going to be given the opportunity to be the starting running back for the Tigers in the spring. And, you know, and listen, Clemson recruits dudes, and you better be ready to roll. And, you know, when you saw that press conference with Dabo 10 days ago, it's really out of character for Dabo to call somebody out. But when he was asked that question, you heard his answer. And that's when the first flag went up for me that, hey, you know what, that when you get called out by the principal in this particular case, you better get to work. Quit complaining, roll up your sleeves, and do what you got to do. You know, C.J. Spiller, like you said, is a Hall of Famer, and he knows what it takes to be great. And he's sitting there looking around that running back room going, hey, five-star, 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 hey, senior.
Right.
You know, you got to get it up and go. And if you're not, guess what happens? You get lapped. When you get lapped, you don't get a whole lot of playing time. And, you know, Lynn J. Dixon can help somebody. He's going to get his degree in December.
And he gets a year. He gets the year back.
Right. And so, I mean, he can help somebody.
No doubt. And he will help somebody next year.
Right. Correct.
Because why? I'm getting ready to tell you why. Tim Beret with this nugget yesterday. Dixon leaves Clemson after accumulating 1,420 rushing yards in 218 attempts. 6.5 is average, is the second best in Clemson history behind Travis Etienne, 7.2 among players with at least 100 carries. Look, Ches Malusi left after the spring game. He starts at Wisconsin. Lynn J. Dixon will be somebody's starting running back next fall.
Right.
I get it. I mean, I understand. Now, you know, he wants to pursue greener pastures and go try and play in the national. That's his decision. But if he wants that year, he's got it, and he can end up someplace relatively close. Southeastern Conference, ACs, he can play for somebody. I know that. Now that we have interconference transfers, he can end up at a school on Clemson's schedule next year.
Yeah, well, we've seen this before. I mean, Tavian Feaster transferred, and everybody thought he was going to be an all-world player. He ended up going to South Carolina and played against Clemson, ironically. So, you know, I wish him the very best on that front. I didn't even think that was the biggest news from Dabo's press conference. The biggest news, in my opinion, was that Tyler Davis, who's a tremendous football player.
Yeah.
He didn't play against Georgia due to COVID holdback and all that stuff, but he is out for 7 to 8 weeks with a torn bicep. Clemson's got great depth in the defensive line.
They're going to need it.
But this is a dude now.
Yeah, this is a dude. And 7 tackles through the 2 ball games this season, South Carolina State and Saturday against Georgia Tech, but missing 2 months with Tyler Davis, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
But it's not the only injury news. It seems like now, postscript of the last 2 weeks, we've had some injury information. Last week was debilitating on a lot of campuses, right?
With stars. I mean, everybody gets nicked up and there's injuries on every team, but we're talking about star power in this league. Last week was a miserable week of headlines. Tyler Davis.
James Mitchell.
Right. Yeah. Tyler Davis news last night's not great news either because that's another star. But today we're going to find out about De'Aaron King at Miami.
I don't know what the long term is for De'Aaron King. The short term is I didn't expect him to play against Central Connecticut State, and I was stunned. He finished the Michigan State game the other day.
59 passes he threw.
Right, exactly. But we'll get a shoulder injury confirmation evaluation statement from Miami today about where De'Aaron King is. Manny Diaz shared his insight yesterday into what King's potential injury and ramifications could be.
I know I never bet against that guy. Because, I mean, he was already like Willis Reed on Saturday and came back out there and did miss a snap, which I didn't think he would do. But obviously, I'm concerned for Derek. I mean, Derek has been, you know, he's been through 3 physical games, you know. So we'll see what that means. You know, we've been repping the other 2 and continue to get those guys ready. And if those guys have to step in for Derek this weekend, you know, we're confident in what they're doing and kind of excited to see them out on that stage and see how they respond to that.
All right, a couple of things here, Mark. I saw a lot of this game on Saturday. I know you saw a lot of this game. He banged up his knee before he hurt his shoulder.
Yeah.
Look, we wish De'Aaron King the best, and Manny Diaz is right. The guy is phenomenal. To get back in the time frame he did from the ACL to be able to play opening night against Alabama is phenomenal. Jake Garcia, Tyler Van Dyke, or Mark Packer, I think, is going to get you past Central Connecticut State.
I don't plan on tackling anybody.
No,
so I might fit right in.
At quarterback.
Oh, that quarterback. Fine.
Yeah, you could play quarterback against the mighty Blue Devils of Central Connecticut.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Miami this week.
That's
they got to get ready for Virginia.
Correct.
And the Hoos, of course, have to get ready to try to win a game on the road. So I think that's what your immediate concern is in terms of De'Aaron King. First of all, we hope he's going to be okay.
Right.
We'll get more news hopefully this afternoon or sometime tomorrow. But I think Miami can get through this week. Just to be, from a precautionary standpoint, just say, hey, QB1, just go chill out.
Right.
We need you healthy for the rest of the way. But to me, the Virginia game is the one that you circle. Next week, you better have somebody ready to roll.
Yeah, I would be concerned on that side.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's one issue at Miami. The other issue is
– the other side of the ball.
Tackle the man with the football.
Right.
And we went through numbers yesterday with EMAC here. And they just did not do a very good job. Have not done a very good job this year tackling the man with the ball. That, to me, it would be a major concern if you're Miami moving forward as you get ready to jump in the deep end of the pool of the ACC play. You just got to tackle better.
Yeah.
And that is not going to get it done.
All right. So on this Tuesday, now we're 3 weeks in, we got some surprises in the ACC.
Shocking surprises.
Yeah. Some things we weren't sure were going to happen. Some we didn't even think would happen are happening after just 3 weeks of play. And after last Saturday, it's kind of on to believe it or not now in the ACC for the first time in a while. We're going to cover a lot of ground today about percentages, chances to win, things like that. But in particular, think about the things we've seen in the first 3 weeks and kind of who's rising tide and whose tide is sinking a little bit, right?
There's some that are in a point now heading to week 4 that you're in a kind of a desperate mode.
After three games.
After three.
Yep.
There are some in a desperate mode. But there have been some pleasant surprises. They're not all negative. Mm-hmm. There have been some pleasant surprises. So we're going to unveil some of those, at least from our perspective. And you are allowed to join in on this at 844-SAY-ACCN. That's 844-SAY-ACCN. Or you can send in a text or tweet or whatever the case may be on social media. We'll figure all that stuff out too. But we're going to kind of give you our list of here we are through 3 weeks. Things that, man, I can't believe this happened one way or the other. Good, bad, or indifferent.
There you
go. That's coming up.
All right. Roddy Jones will join us at 9 o'clock. That guy got to be sick of me, by the way.
Oh, don't pretend that's the only one.
Great to be back with you on a Tuesday. Roddy Jones at 9 o'clock. But when we come back, what about these surprises? Any? Oh, QB5 in Charlottesville. How about that arena football the other night? The Barnstormers and the Arizona Rattlers. Oh, wait, that was Carolina, Virginia. We'll get to it. Surprise, surprise. Gomer Pyle next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. By the way, did not mention that we continue to stream live even on rainy Tuesdays, but that is true on the ESPN app, SiriusXM 371. Radio stations galore. 844-SAY-ACCN, the number for the program.
Yeah.
844-SAY-ACCN.
We're off to a good start in Richmond, too, with our crowd at ESPN up there, ESPN radio affiliate in Richmond. So great to have Richmond aboard.
I'm glad because I got family in Richmond.
Exchanged some notes with Bob Black the other day. I'll see him on Saturday at Blacksburg.
There you go.
There you go. All right, surprises through week three. We've had individual things happen. We're getting into the more collective piece of the program now, don't you think? I mean, where certain – I mean, remember now, things have happened through three games. They're players we didn't talk much about, and it was no slight. It was just we were looking at the stars and the names that were most prominent coming back. And now all of a sudden we're going to talk about other people because through 3 weeks we're having some people step up, Pack.
People and teams.
Yeah.
And we've had some teams step back as well.
That's true, too.
Let's start with Clemson, though, offense. The Clemson offense is a national story, or the lack thereof, perhaps. Mm-hmm. The numbers are unbelievable, if you think about it, given what we are so used to seeing with the Tigers going up and down the field, scoring at will, at a record pace, tempo, throwing the football over the yard. I mean, they've been spectacular. But look at this number right here. Yards per game. Dead last in the ACC.
Now, they played Georgia, who is a really good defense.
Also played South Carolina State, who can't beat my neighborhood. So, I mean, it all kind of balances itself out. But dead last in the ACC. And to take it even further, Wes, the Tiger offense is 114 nationally. There's only 130 teams. 114.
Yeah.
They're 120 in passing yards per completion. There's only 130 teams. 105 in scoring offense. There's only 130 teams. I mean, it is so out of whack to watch a Clemson football game and see from an offensive standpoint, they're just going nowhere fast. Mm-hmm. And you know they got five-star guys all over the place, especially on the perimeter.
So we can talk about the elixir for this, but it's a collective thing.
Yeah.
In looking at the numbers here, this is not just now, hey, they got to get it figured out up front. We've moved beyond the figuring it out up front part of the program, don't you think?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things.
Absolutely.
Some guy asked me yesterday, Pack, how would you fix Clemson's offense? I said, if I knew the answer, that would be making $2 million and not doing radio or television. If I knew the answer.
Because you'd be the coordinator or coach or somebody.
Exactly right. I'd be making $2 million telling you exactly how it's fixed. I don't know how. I mean, I'm not a coach.
Right.
But I know this much. They've got talent. And they've got time. But, Wes, I'll tell you, Saturday in Raleigh is no joke. NC State has circled this one and said, listen, if we're going to win the Atlantic and we're going to get to the ACC title game and win one for the very first time since 79, this is the game NC State's got to win. They've been close a few times in the past. The crowd will be awesome Saturday. So Clemson's got about a week to figure this thing out.
Here's the other part about NC State, too. The Wolfpack was able to kind of get it all back in front of them Saturday night. It's the perfect entree to playing Clemson. You come off Mississippi State, you get it all back in front of you, you beat hapless Furman, you play without Peyton Wilson and Cyrus Fagan, and you get those other guys reps for the week and the prep and all that, and now you can pour into this. Okay? So, not saying Clemson's in trouble, not say, but it's going to be, it'll be a game now. And this is where, if Clemson's going to be Clemson, this is where it has to start.
I agree. I mean, because there's, listen, the Tigers' mindset is college football playoff, national championship. I mean, the ACC is a step into where they want to go. And I've always been the guy to tell you, hey, it's a week-to-week thing. You don't worry about who's the four teams in the playoff, I mean, especially in September. Mm-hmm. But what I do know is if you have two L's, you're out.
Yeah.
You're out. I don't want to hear any lip. I don't want to hear any excuses. I don't want to hear a dog eating homework. No. Hey, we know one thing about the college football playoff, mm-hmm. that they have been, they, the committee, have been really consistent. I don't care how good you are. I don't care what league you're in. You lose two, you're through.
Right.
You're not in the conversation.
Right.
So there we go. It's, we'll talk more about this coming up at 8 o'clock. But Clemson's offense is certainly on the list after 3 weeks.
Now, I thought about this yesterday traveling back when I got word we were going to do this. And I'm going to offer a Durham portion of Packer and Durham apology to Brennan Armstrong this morning. Because we spent a lot of time in the offseason. Your name got mentioned. But seemingly we didn't give you the credit you deserved because we mentioned Sam Howell and DJ Uiagalelei and all these quarterbacks coming out. But yet we kind of got you in the mix. But we didn't give you your hat tip, sir. And I'll say this. In a losing effort Saturday night, you get a hat tip. Because Brennan Armstrong is setting this place on fire at this point back from a statistical standpoint.
You mean 554 yards passing Saturday night wasn't enough for you? That
look,
was pretty good.
Here's the deal. I mean, he's going to do things that if he stays – now, staying on this pace will be incredible. But if he stays on this pace, he's going to shatter – not break. He's going to shatter most every passing total offense record the ACC has.
Well, when you throw up for 554 on a given Saturday,
look
yeah,
at the last two, though. You. He's thrown 900 in two games.
Right. Pretty good. And he's got weapons. And Virginia's done a nice job from a scheme standpoint putting those dudes in space.
Look, we were putting him – we were talking Sam Howell, DJ Uiagalelei, Derek King – right?
Right.
And then
Kenny Pickett.
Sam Hartman. Oh, yeah, Brennan Armstrong.
Malik Cunningham.
Braxton Burmeister. Malik. Okay, we were kind of he was in that second cut.
He was like the afterthought. Solid player, kind of an afterthought.
Good player, good athlete. When he's healthy, right. Very good. Right. No. Great player. When he's healthy, spectacular.
He's been great.
And through the first 3 weeks, he's the biggest surprise, not just in the ACC. He might be one of the biggest surprises in college football. But here's the deal. People aren't going to look at his numbers because they're seeing Virginia lost to Carolina. They're only thinking about wins after 3 weeks and eliminating people from the college football playoff. But all that being said, Virginia, by the way, welcome back. You have the right to defend the Coastal. And, yeah, I know you took the loss Saturday night. Carolina's got an advantage. But the Coastal now – like we said last week, if Carolina beat Virginia, we're now back to the full swing in the Coastal. Because Virginia Tech is sitting there. They haven't lost a Coastal game. Carolina's got one. Virginia's got one. It's – come on now. This is going to get interesting. We're back to Coastal chaos. Week four.
Well, I'm not sure we ever left. I mean, what makes you think Coastal Chaos exited well, stage?
I remember when Virginia Tech beat Carolina, and everybody thought, well, that's it for Carolina.
No.
Well, then Carolina, no. Okay, so we're back and, you know.
No, I didn't think that.
Okay.
I mean, I think once you lose two, your back's against the wall. That's why it was so important for North Carolina to hold serve Saturday night, and they did.
Yeah. But Virginia, yeah, you're back in it. I give you credit. The Carolina-Miami conversation – you're in it, Virginia. You got the right to defend it. And I agree with all the talk and rhetoric from Charlottesville. Hey, you're still in the game even though you lost Saturday night.
Right. Right. Nothing more I can add to that.
Okay.
Nothing more I can add.
What about Gunnar Holmberg?
I put him on the list because for the exact same thing you were just talking about with Brennan Armstrong, we went through the entire list all summer. We got 14 teams in the league, 13 got quarterbacks back who played some. We don't know what Duke's going to do. Here's David Cutcliffe, one of the great quarterback whisperers. What's he going to do at quarterback? Chase Bryce has left town. He went to App State. what's Duke going to do? Well, you know what? Old Gunner now, look at his numbers through the first couple games. Wes, you had the game over the weekend at Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium, and old Gunner Holmberg's putting up some really, really good numbers.
Yeah. No, and getting the ball, I mean, it was Jake Bobo, a lot of Jake Bobo at times on Saturday. It's been a lot of Jake Bobo through the three ball games, but I'll say this. He also worked it around the field. Jalen Calhoun, Eli Pancol on a big third down conversion the other night. Gunner Holmberg, steady as she goes. That's the way I think he's going to play this the rest of the year. Quite frankly, with 21 running the rock, that's what he ought to do. Because Mateo Durant, that's a pro, Pack.
No question.
That's a pro.
No doubt.
Carrying the rock for the Blue Devils.
Yeah, no doubt. And you mentioned Bobo, 19, my favorite number. He's been wide open all year. But Gunner Holmberg, I mean, he's a guy, again.
Jeff Ferris, by the way, in our visit on Friday, said, because Bobo has like 16 catches. The next closest guy was 9 going into the game. And Roddy and I said, now, Jeff, you know Bobo's numbers. He goes, well, we got to let Gunner's got to learn to go through some progressions. And not
but
just,
if 19's always open, man, I'll throw it to him.
I know.
19
I
catches
agree.
The football.
Well, we saw Marwiti make a catch, Calhoun, Pancol, guys like that
Bobo's
the other day.
Bobo's a player.
Jarrett Garner's a guy they like to get the ball to.
I'm just glad they held on.
I just want to tell you, 21. Whew.
Yeah, 21 plays
21
for a lot of folks.
Is nice now.
Yeah, 21 can play for a lot of folks.
21 is nice.
How about another quarterback that's been a pleasant surprise? The only thing we talked about him before the season was a new name, image, and likeness deal with the Atlanta Braves. Oh, Jordan Yates now. Jordan Yates doing some balling now.
I'll tell you.
He's stepping up as the number two guy behind Sims, and I thought he played terrific at Clemson. He led him to a win in week two. He stepped up and played real well.
Let me tell you what this kid is. Number one, he's an incredible competitor. And number two, Pack, he knows how to win.
Right.
And here's the thing. Sometimes, and we had this conversation with Gunner Holmberg on Friday in our production meeting. Sometimes you have to have patience to get to success. You got to be willing to pay the price in terms of patience. Jordan Yates has done that. He's given Jeff Collins and Dave Patenode now a layer of confidence and comfort, I think, with that quarterback spot. We don't know the extent of Jeff Sims' injury. Jeff Collins hasn't said and not going to say a lot about where Jeff Sims is in the return process. But let's be honest. Jordan Yates has come in and done a very, very nice job.
Yeah.
And he competes to win. And here's the deal. Sims is incredibly gifted. We've talked about that. But reality is Jordan Yates can do some things too. Now, Georgia Tech, you can't get out from behind that schedule, kids. That's the reality of where your football team is this year. But Jordan Yates, he's done some solid things.
He has, and the schedule is nasty. But I tell you what, Georgia Tech staff did a great job Saturday. Now, they were prepared. They had a game plan.
Yeah.
Caught Clemson completely off guard. Even afterwards, the Tiger coaches were like, man, we didn't practice against any of that stuff. Well, you know what? Georgia Tech had a great scheme. And they just about pulled off a monstrous upset.
Yeah, and the game worked out for – believe it or not, to their benefit in terms of the temperament and the score and the momentum of it and the possession count, all those things.
Yep.
More to come on surprises. Accounting is at 7:45, by the way.
You got a problem?
I got no problem. Accounting?
Did you cruise through accounting?
Kinda.
Really?
Yeah, kinda.
Wow.
Kinda cruised through accounting.
Good for you.
Hello, help.
Help from what?
Well, I just had to go back and kind of reset my things a little bit. I had some people move down, some people move up.
Yeah, you normally have really – I got to tell you, after the first couple of weeks
– Volatile market? I got a volatile market.
You've had some serious spikes with teams.
I got some
more
volatile –
more so than I have.
I got a volatile market.
You got something.
I'm living in the moment, man. We're spotting, putting the ball down and playing. And we're going to keep playing surprises next. Surprises, by the way, next that aren't necessarily good ones – we got those too.
Hurry up. I'm going to eat some lemon squares.
Lemon squares for Pack during the break. We're back after this.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Nobody bothered Chester. He's relaxed on the Roger Goodell chair. He'll be good to go about 9:55. Fuller's over here with Buddy West now that Wes is back in studio. 844 say ACCN is the number for the program as we discuss surprises through week 3 of the ACC.
No surprise is Chester napping during the show.
His traditional spot.
Yeah.
You know, he had some Cheerios this morning, about 4:15. That's his favorite and for breakfast and until Bojangles delivers. So they haven't delivered yet, so Chester loaded up on some Cheerios. So he's knocked out with his food coma. And Big Boy over here, he was waiting for you.
Yeah, he was. We touched on the top of the show. You're already one of the surprises is actually a tough one. Miami's having a hard time tackling
folks. They don't tackle anybody. And I'm just going to tell you. We talked about that stat a lot last week.
Right.
241 yards after contact. They were last in the league. And I told you, you know what? For here comes Sparty. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to try to shove it down your throat. You better get your tackling pants on because they can embarrass you if you're not in the mood. Well, guess what happened Saturday? They embarrassed them. Miami misses so many tackles. I mean, the first guy that touches him, forget it. He's not taking anybody. That's got to change, Miami. I mean, you can have all the cool bling on the sidelines and all that kind of stuff, but at some point in time, you got to put the guy with the ball on the ground. It's got to be priority one. Mm-hmm. Has to be. Yeah. If that doesn't get better, I got news for you. There's going to be some rocky Saturdays moving forward. Unless they increase the ability to tackle the man with the ball.
There might be some rocky Saturdays already in the pocket in Tallahassee. Because after an opening night that was so encouraging about Mike Norvell's second season, Florida State has hit a rough patch. And the rough patch Saturday was a 3-touchdown loss in Winston-Salem.
Bigger number in Winston-Salem Saturday. Krispy Kreme donuts or Florida State pastry turnovers? What's a bigger number, Wes? I mean, who are you going to beat when you turn it over 6 times on the road? You fill in the blank with that. I don't care how good you are or how lousy you are. If you turn it over 6 times on the road, I really love your chances to lose.
JV State, by the way, on the graphic is Jacksonville State, not like somebody's junior varsity. I leave it alone.
Probably a joke in there.
Leave it alone. That's right.
Right. You can't turn it over 6 times.
No.
Can't do it.
No. And you it's got to clean up. It's just got to get cleaned up.
But let me ask you this real quick before we get to the next one. You're not, though, surprised at Wake's 3-0, though, are you?
No, sir.
Mm-mm. Didn't think so.
Didn't put that on the list.
No.
Did not put it on the list.
And they were the better team Saturday against Florida State.
Big one Friday night.
Really
on
large.
ESPN2.
Large.
Real big. Yep. Real big. Sean Tucker has become the ACC's most underrated running back.
That's what I wrote. It's exactly what I wrote down. You know what? There are a lot of folks in the ACC don't even know about 34.
You're right.
This dude right here can run, he can catch, and he's a load to bring down.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, he just plays football, man. He's not looking for any flash. When you interview him, it's a matter of fact, even keel. But 34 is a baller.
Yeah. He had a tough day week 2 against Rutgers.
I get it.
But Ohio and Albany, 34 been your guy.
34 can play for me.
Yeah. And look, they did exactly what you're supposed to do to Albany.
That's right.
Eventually.
Even though they had 16 penalties, which was on our worst of the weekend, which you didn't see because you were busy
trying to get
watching
back.
The Falcons give up 16 touchdowns.
Yeah. All right. Sam Howell, you know, the funny part about this is I remember a couple of years ago he said he lost a little weight, right? Wanted to lose a little weight. Then he wanted to get more mobility and flexibility. He talked to us about this summer. Well, I think that mobility and flexibility's helped him out because old 7 now has become a bit of a running quarterback. Pack.
I love it. I just hope he stays healthy and doesn't pretend that he is a running back. I mean, he's still an elite passer, and he still throws the best deep ball in college football, in my opinion.
Yep.
But man alive, he has been out of sight running the football, and it's just another weapon for Mac Brown that, hey, you got all these dudes going deep, and old Sam's sitting there going, that's cool, man. You guys flood that zone. Watch this. Mm. I'm going to go this way now. And off he goes to the race. Sam Howell. With his legs beating people. And again, just adds to the lore of what he brings to the table. And I'm sure there's some folks at the NFL going, hey, Sam, now, whoa, be careful out there running the football now. Just chill.
I'll tell you what, though.
Just chill.
There's some people in the NFL like it.
I'm just telling you now, don't think you're Mr. Running Back back there. You're still an elite quarterback.
All right.
Which he absolutely is.
We mentioned Mateo Durant earlier about how he's delivered, right? No surprise there. Sean Tucker, most underrated. Let's welcome Pat Garwo and Ty Chandler to the mix of running backs in the ACC, while at the same time we wonder where Cameron Harris and Jahmyr Gibbs are.
Good point.
Because two guys we thought would be impactful have not yet had a moment. Meanwhile, the Tennessee transfer, Chandler, really showed out on Saturday night against Virginia. And Garwo, not Alex Sinkfield, and really not David Levy, has been the running star for Boston College, Pac.
Yeah, and given the Djurkovic injury, it's going to be interesting to watch how BC, what balance have moving forward. Do they still throw it all over the yard? Or do they try to incorporate a little bit more of the run game? This will be a big test this week. Boston College, Missouri, to me, kind of falls in that same category as NC State at Mississippi State, Pitt at Tennessee. This is BC's shot. Now, if they had Djurkovic, I'd feel a lot better about this game. But nevertheless, BC's still undefeated. There's two undefeated teams in the ACC, Wake Forest and Boston College. This is a big, big weekend coming up for the Eagles.
Yeah. And more from Roddy Jones on this at 9 o'clock. He shared some thoughts with me over the weekend about where concern lies for teams that haven't quite exploded yet in a run game scenario. Pittsburgh and BC both fall in that category. We'll touch on that at 9 o'clock with Roddy. All right, the ACC, one of the surprises in the first 3 weeks for me, the ACC's lost two games to the MAC.
Oof.
NIU and Western Michigan. Now, look. Here's the story. I like the Mac. I'm a big mid-American guy.
Oh, you are.
I'm a hashtag Maxion guy.
Is that right?
October, November, I'm a Tuesday night.
No kidding.
Akron, Toledo guy.
I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, I want to see the ball in the air.
Well, you want to do a game? Is that what that is?
No, it's not it. I like the games, though. They're entertaining. Tim Lester's a really good coach at Western Michigan. Tim's done a good job there. It's his alma mater. It means something to him, and he's built a nice program. But you can't lose these guys. You can't lose to them at home.
Well, what's ironic about that, if you'd have told me before the season, hey, the ACC is going to lose two to the MAC in the first 3 weeks.
You'd have said Ohio for sure.
Spot on. That's where I was going. That, man, Syracuse at Ohio, it's going to be
18 starters, da-da-da. Yeah.
And that was a blowout.
Right.
20-point W for the Orange.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you, Wes. It's college football. Listen, yesterday – mentioned there was 19 ranked teams in the AP have lost after 3 weeks. That's the most in the history of college football. I go back to what Dave Clawson told everybody.
That's exactly right.
Months ago, that this is going to be the best year ever of college football. The reason for it is this: super seniors, transfer portal,
right,
old teams, and the elite teams who have lost, you know, half dozen, a dozen players, the NFL. Hey, yeah, they restock with 4 and 5 star players who are 17. But they're now taking on teams that have gotten old, who got 22- and 23-year-old guys who know how to play football. And I think that – Dave Clawson said it. He was the first guy I've heard that mentioned that. And through 3 weeks, he has not only crystal balled it right on the money, we've watched it happen.
Yep.
And you see teams like, you know, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Clemson, teams that we expect to see in the college football playoff on a consistent basis – they've had issues. Ohio State can't defend. Clemson can't find an offense. Oklahoma's sputtering too. And you look at some of the games they played, hey, guess what? Old teams are sitting there going, hey, yeah, you might have some young studs and all that great stuff. Well, guess what? Us 23-year-olds, we like to tackle 19-year-old guys. And they do.
Yeah.
So it's been really interesting.
So those are some of the surprises from week three. Don't forget, you can tag us on Twitter. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham. Chime in with some of your own. And when we come back, time for accounting.
Oh, you said it was easy. I can't wait to see yours.
I didn't say I cruised. I had a couple areas I had to work through. I'll share those with you. We've already put them on the big board, too. Back after this on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Don't forget, coming up Friday night, 8 o'clock, ACC football presented by Dr. Pepper. The Dome in Central New York will be the site for Liberty and Syracuse. Malik Willis and the Flames come calling. Remember last year? Big win for Louisville at the Dome. Orange coming off the win over the Great Danes of Albany. Let's see what happens at 8 o'clock with Drew Carter, Bobby Carpenter, Taylor Davis, and our coverage on ACC Network streaming live on the ESPN app. There you go. Two games. Two on Friday, by the way, involving the old ACC.
All right, let's get to it.
Okay.
It's time for accounting.
Yeah, it is.
Fans, you can participate. You know how this works. You rank them 1 through 14. I will give you a Sweet 16 this
week. Of
course
you will.
Because I can.
That's who you are.
That's right. Yeah, I can. That's
good. You're good at it.
So, Wes, you get the lead, my friend.
All right.
Since it was so easy.
I didn't say it was easy. Just said it kind of structured itself. I had a couple areas of questions. How's that?
Let me see it.
All right. Let's go. Clemson's number one. Stays the same. Close call, still one. Carolina, two. Wake Forest moves up 6-3.
Wow, volatile. This is a volatile
list. A volatile market. I'm more of the S&P guy, more of the NASDAQ. You're more Dow Jones, I think, in this world. Virginia down 1-4. State up 3-5. BC holds. Virginia Tech's gone down after the loss at Morgantown.
Excuse me.
To 7. Louisville up 3, Pitt down 5.
Holy
Miami mackerel. Down 3, Duke up 2, Georgia Tech up 2. Syracuse goes down 1, you put 60 on the Great Danes. Florida State's gone down 4-14.
Well, I tell you right now.
Go ahead, grease the rails for me.
I'm going to. Okay. I can tell you right now, you'll be able to tell which person was drinking bourbon when they did their accounting list. You mean to tell me Virginia Tech? Wait a minute, let me get this right now. Virginia Tech.
Spent all day coming back.
Let me finish. You don't even know what I'm going to say. Virginia Tech, an underdog on the road, butchers everything inside the 10-yard line, loses by 6, and drops 6?
Fair question.
Oh, it's a
but
real
they
spent
all
question.
Day coming
What's
back.
The answer?
Spent all day coming back.
So what?
They the lost. Exact same thing. Now, I'm not down on Virginia Tech in any way, shape, or form. I'm not. But here's what I will say.
How's Carolina in front of Virginia Tech?
Because Carolina just beat Virginia and put Carolina looks better after three games. They didn't look good opening night. Virginia
Tech playing the opening night. I'm
Virginia
sorry.
Tech. Okay, we're going to get back to who beat who.
Why do you think that's important after 3 weeks?
Okay,
I mean, we've only played 3 weeks.
You're really setting the table now for me to go to Blacksburg.
Well, hey, no disrespect.
I'm going to need a cop.
No disrespect. This wasn't that hard. And you,
I just
it's
put Virginia,
your list.
I know.
I didn't put a gun.
Virginia
to your head.
Tech fans will be on me, and that's fine. We've
they
been there before.
They ought to be on you.
They're okay.
They ought to kill you.
Why?
Because there's not six teams in the league better than Virginia
Tech. I think
Tech.
Virginia Tech's a good team. I'm not telling you their season's over. I just got them
at 6. I
didn't
say their season's over. I'm saying they're not number 7.
But they spent all day coming back.
They were an underdog on the road.
They were a ranked team.
Great. And they were still an underdog on the road.
Okay. I got you.
All right. Hokie Nation, listen, have at it.
Oh, they will. We'll show the tweets tomorrow.
Well, I mean, you kind of deserve that one. There's no way Virginia Tech 7. Sorry, I'm not buying that. All right, let's get to the list. Sweet 16 time. Let's do it. Number one, it's Clemson's defense.
You're not putting the offense on there?
Well, the offense is on there. You just keep looking down the list a little further. Clemson's defense is number one. Nobody can argue with that. I'm not sure there is a number one team in this league right now.
Right.
Clemson's D, though, is number one. Hokies, listen, you just heard my deal. I kept you, too. You know why? You were a dog on the road. You absolutely kicked it around the yard inside the 10-yard line with, again, C number 16. I'm not dropping you for that. North Carolina, loved what you did against Virginia, but I can't put you in front of Virginia Tech because there's a thing called scoreboard. The Swiss, that's my mover this week.
Oh, man, I'll tell you now.
That was the game. I've been waiting on Wake. Haven't been giving them enough love because I thought
delivered.
They would be 2-0. They kick Florida State all over the yard.
Yep.
So I got the Swiss moving up to 4. Virginia, don't get upset. You get to play them Friday night and change all that.
Sure.
You got a chance to change it. I got BC 6 because they're undefeated. All right? And I'm still a little worried, though, without Nojurkovic, what that could be moving
forward.
We both
have BC 6 and they're undefeated. But I'm not sure who they've played.
That's it. This is a big week coming up against Missouri. I got Pitt dropping to 7. All right. Now, Pitt, you totally let me down. That was an egg salad sandwich that you swallowed whole against Western Michigan. You go down from
that.
You
don't like egg salad?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not like egg salad. If I got my Subway sandwich, it will not be an egg salad Subway sandwich.
Okay.
The only reason I've got Pitt in front of NC State, because I think this is NC State's week to make a move. You beat Clemson, you watch how quick you move up in this poll. You lose Saturday, you're going to stay right about there, right? The reason Pitt's in front of NC State is because Pitt won at Tennessee, and NC State had an egg salad sandwich down in Stark Vegas. 9, they're moving up. They are still the team of mystery. Louisville. 10, hey, Duke, what is going on? Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium. West Durham shows up one time. You put a 30 spot on, create 5 turnovers. And guess what? Rock Chalk Jayhawk, you could be 3-1 before you know it.
How about that?
How about that?
3-1 with a loss to Charlotte.
Go figure. Syracuse moves up. Why? Because you scored 60-something on some dog.
Albany.
Albany. And I mean
Great
dog.
Danes.
That's what I said. Yeah, a literally. Dog.
Right.
Miami, you deserve it. I don't want to hear about any Miami fans complaining. I can't believe you got us 12th. Well, you're lucky you're 12. Tackle somebody, please, Miami. Georgia Tech, you know what? You stayed right where you are, but I was impressed with what you came up with Saturday. You scared the living daylights out of the Clemson Tigers. Georgia Tech, keep an eye on them. They got Tar Heels coming to town Saturday night. Knowles, I'm sorry, 0-3, stunk it up in Switzerland. That's exactly where you'd be right now, 14. I would never have thought that after the Notre Dame game.
Nope.
But after Jacksonville State and what you did, that clunker against the Deacs, that's where you are. 15 this week in the Sweet 16. Hey, Clemson, listen to me. You got the game won. Ball's the 1 foot line.
Golly.
You got a 300 pound center. You got a 250 pound quarterback. All you got to do is take it and take a knee. The shotgun snap from your own end zone when you told us in August, man, we've had some exchange issues. What could go wrong? Well, I can tell you what can go wrong. Bad snap. At least you had the snap right. Handed off to Shipley and he fumbles. Goodness gracious. You're talking about a disaster. Clemson's quarterback sneak play is 15 on the list. It's only topped by the Hokies, who had 3 different possessions inside the 10, ran 12 plays, had 5 net yards, and unfortunately, 0 points in a 6-point loss at West by God, Virginia. So there you have it, the Sweet 16 this week from me, Mark Packer. Have at it, Mr. Durham. There's our list.
There you go.
Show 465.
Yeah. I like the way we do that. This
I do too.
Tommy, thank you.
Tommy Armstrong getting the job done with our tote board there.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
So we got divisions. That'll really help out in basketball.
Oh, yeah. We're good.
We're just going to stack them one on top of the other in basketball.
We can take it to the ceiling, Mr. Durham. We got this. We got this. We got to find a little Notre Dame action in there, though.
Yeah, we'll have to get Tommy to send us some Notre Dame blocks.
Yeah. So that's it. Well, there you go. Accounting.
Yeah. All right. So this week for conference play, you have Wake at Virginia. You've got
Friday night.
That's Friday night. You got Clemson at NC State, Louisville at Florida State, Carolina at Georgia Tech.
Friday night game is a big one. And Clemson, NC State. Now, we talk about coastal chaos all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It will take one game and one game only to create Atlantic chaos. And that game is this Saturday in Raleigh, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, if NC State pulls the upset, game on. It's game on.
Oh, yeah.
In the Atlantic.
Totally game on.
Yep.
So, what's the formula, though? Is it different now? Might be. What do the Tigers have to do? And what does NC State have to do to take care of DJU and the Tigers Saturday afternoon at Carter-Finley Stadium? We'll start that preview next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.